Welcome back to the Born to Ball podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kenny G, on this beautiful October the 14th afternoon. A little cold, but the sun's out. Can't complain too much. We got some stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about the MLB this past weekend, an electric college football slate, and we're going to talk about the NyQuil, which the NFL was this Sunday, while also looking forward to the ALCS and NLCS, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, and a little more, guys. This episode is probably going to be one of the shortest I'll have just because I want to make it short. And also, there isn't a lot to talk about. I'm not going to get in depth about a lot of NFL games because they just frankly weren't good or worth talking about. I can bring up stats. I can talk about what I've seen, what I know. But there really isn't much to talk about. But outside of that, guys, as always, thank you for listening and tuning in, man. And yeah, let's get straight into it. All right, so we left on Friday. We left off with two Game 5s to be played. Dodgers Padres on Friday night, and then Saturday afternoon, you had the Tigers and Guardians. To the normal MLB fan, I guess you could say these were snooze fests, excluding, you know, a few big plays outside of that. But if you're Tigers and Padres fans, you're heartbroken. Guardians and Dodgers fans, you're happy and you're looking forward to the LCS. But anyways, let's talk Dodgers and Padres first. Yamamoto handled business. A huge bounce back from his game one. He went 5 innings, only giving up 2 hits and 1 walk. He gave up 0 runs with a pair of strikeouts. The Dodgers' bullpen shut down the Padres' lineup for 4 straight innings. Like Jeff Passan tweeted, though, it was a good night to be a Hernandez in a Dodgers uniform, as both Kiki Hernandez and Teoscar Hernandez went yard. As for the Padres, Yu Darvish put up nearly 7 innings of solid work, but the lack of offense killed them. 18 straight innings of zeros was the nail in the coffin. For my predicted World Series winners and the Padres fan base, unfortunate loss, but an electric series and season for them nonetheless. The Dodgers, hosted the Mets Sunday night for Game 1 of NLCS. I'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, for the Padres, just unfortunate. They got just cooked pitching-wise. Not, I wouldn't say pitching-wise, but the Dodgers' pitching just handled them for those final two games. And I had the Padres winning it all. I had them beating the Guardians. I thought that was a chance. But for the AL side of things, my Guardians' dream still lives. But for the Padres, it's unfortunate, man. I was really looking forward to Padres-Mets series, but being up 2-1, they couldn't close either of those final two games. And yeah, Yu Darvish put up a solid game, only giving up 2 home runs. And that being it, you're down 2-0, and the offense couldn't spark nothing at all, man. So unfortunate, but yeah. Let's talk about the Guardians and Tigers next. For the Tigers, their season ended in a heartbreak. Scuba was dealing as usual, but a 5th-inning jam when he left the bases loaded for Jose Ramirez and it ended up hitting him with a pitch, tied the game 1-1, bottom of the 5th. Eventually leaving the bases loaded again for Lane Thomas, the former Cardinal and National. In an unfortunate pitch and a grand slam later, the Guardians are up 5-1. The Tigers went on to score twice in back-to-back innings, leaving the score to be 5-3. The Guardians added 2 more at the end of the game to end it, but it was Emmanuel Clase who came in to shut the door and gave the Guardians a 4-run win. As for roster construction, the Tigers, this is the worst they'll be for the next 3 to 5 years. They'll be back here. A lot of their young stars garnered and gained playoff experience. So it's unfortunate, but you weren't going to win the World Series. But of course, would an ALCS appearance be nice? Yes. For baseball fans, it's probably better off that the Guardians won. We'll get Guardians and Yankees, who of course in the past have had great playoff series against each other. But yeah, for the Tigers, man, it is what it is. It's unfortunate, but nobody expected you. You were dead in the water early August. And yeah, man, it sucks. It really does, but Scooble was electric all series. It was just one unfortunate pitch and a bad bottom of the 5th that led him to the loss, but you can't blame him. You can't blame no Tigers player. You're going to rebuild this roster, and you know, you're going to roll this momentum to the offseason and add players and look to make a bigger stamp in the regular season and eventually the playoffs next year, man. But as for the Guardians, they travel to New York for Game 1 of the ALCS tonight. Alex Cobb is on the mound for Cleveland, while Carlos Rodon for the Yanks. I just know everybody's been waiting for my answer on who I got in the NLCS and ALCS. And the answer is the Guardians and the Mets. Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez plus the elite bullpen will send New York packing in 5 or 6. As for the Mets, they will check everyone and make sure they win this one in 7. You know, yes, they lost to the Dodgers 9-0 yesterday, and it is what it is. Jack Flaherty dealt for 7 innings with 6 strikeouts and only 2 hits and 2 walks. An overall elite night for him. The Dodgers bullpen, of course, came and shut it all down again. And now I'm pretty sure the Dodgers have pitched 29 scoreless innings in a row, a playoff record. Offensively for the Dodgers, luckily enough, their big three showed up combined for 5 hits, which was Otani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman. They look to bounce back this afternoon, the Mets do, in a big way, and hopefully tie it 1-1. As for the Guardians and Yanks, they'll kick it off tonight. And right now, that's it for baseball. Not much to talk about. Like I said, we're down to the last two series. LCS. Oh God, I want to say AL and NL, but yes, the LLCS. We're down to the final four teams. I think it's going to be Guardians and Mets, but I wouldn't be shocked if we're looking at a Game 7 series between the Yanks and Dodgers. But yeah, for baseball, that's it right now. You know, I'll come back Friday. We'll see if we could see a sweep emerge, but who knows? There's a lot to talk about in between this episode and Friday's episode. So on Friday, we'll recap everything. But yeah, now let's talk some NFL. And to be honest, that was one of the worst Sundays of football I have ever seen. No game was worth really watching unless it was your team. As for me, the Chiefs were on a bye, so all I had was Red Zone until mid-afternoon, where I gave up and finished. I didn't care about the rest of the mid-afternoon games. Blowouts, boring. They didn't mean nothing to me, so I gave up, and I put on The Wire. I had to finish season 4 yesterday, and it's beautiful. I think it's the greatest show of all time, or at least one of the greatest shows of all time. 10 out of 10, I recommend. Go watch it. I think I'm going to start season 5 tonight. Get that rolling, man. Beautiful show. Anyways, yesterday watching that NFL slate felt like a chore. Usually, you know, it's something us NFL fans do. It's like, okay, we just need to watch football so we know what's going on. Fantasy, gambling, you know, we don't want to miss it because what if something happens? And nothing really happened yesterday. It was a chore, really. We just didn't want to miss it. We had to do it just so we could be caught up and not be that guy left out and missing something great. Which nothing great did happen yesterday, man, but it was unfortunate, really. It was just a bad slate overall, and it was just a chore. NyQuil, I didn't like it. Hopefully next Sunday will be a lot better, man. But, yeah, it's one of the worst slates recently, but there's still a few things to talk about. I'm not going to get in crazy depth with all the games. Just going to look, talk about a few things for each game, and, yeah, let's get into it. We're going to kick this one off with the Bears and Jaguars. Bears won this one 35-16. The Jaguars lost in their second city, their second country, London, United Kingdom, in somewhat of an embarrassing fashion, man. For the Bears side of things, Caleb Williams had an amazing game. 23 completions on 29 attempts, 226 yards, 4 passing TDs, and only 1 interception. The Bears had 373 total yards of offense and controlled the ball for 30 minutes of the game, around half of it. Cole Kmet had 2 touchdowns. He's having a breakout year, in my opinion. He had 5 catches and 70 yards on the day. DeAndre Swift with another huge game. 17 carries, 91 yards. He also had 4 receptions, 28 yards. Big. I said if he can show up, this Bears offense could be a whole lot better, and he's doing that. And they look a whole lot better. Keenan Allen had 2 TDs on the day with 5 catches, 41 yards. Roma Dunze, 2 catches, 40 yards. DJ Moore, shockingly, only had 4 catches for 20 yards. You got to ask yourself, if Caleb Williams is dotting up with Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, is DJ Moore worth keeping? In my opinion, yes. I don't know why I asked that question, because obviously Keenan Allen isn't a long-term plan here. So he's going to take whatever Keenan Allen has left over. And it's just an off day. Him and Caleb are eventually connect. I think it would be dumb for him to leave, because to be honest, all the only teams that can really afford DJ Moore in his contract and pay the price is a rebuilding team. He doesn't want to help get back to a situation like Carolina. So I think he's okay. They're going to connect again. It is what it is. Offensive field for the Jags, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, 23 completions, 35 attempts, 234 yards, 2 passing TDs. Mac Jones got a completion in the game as well. Gabe Davis had 2 touchdowns on the day with 5 catches. Evan Ingram had a big day, 10 catches, 102 yards. Christian Kirk is just not looking worth any of the money, 3 catches, 39 yards. Brian Thomas Jr. had a down day, 3 catches, 27 yards. Overall, just not the best days for Jags. Like I said, the NFL guys said somebody else had to be bad. It couldn't just be Carolina. Somebody had to get chosen, and unfortunately, it seems like the Jags were. So, yeah, real unfortunate. They play in London again next week against the Patriots, so that's got to be a must-win. I think that's why the NFL scheduled that, because, you know, London Jaguars got to get a win eventually, right? But, yeah, that's it for this game. I was asleep, and now let's talk Colts-Titans. Joe Flacco is elite. He really didn't look like it yesterday, though. Only had 189 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Threw 22 completions on 38 attempts. Total yards of offense for the Colts was 269. Jonathan Taylor was out again, so bear with him. Trey Sermon, I think, was the starting running back. Or he's rotating. Anyways, Michael Pittman had a catch on the day. Excuse me, a touchdown. 3 catches and 35 yards in total. Mo Alley Cox, if you guys remember Mo Alley Cox or Austin Hooper, who would y'all go with? I think Mo Alley Cox. 4 catches, though, 41 yards. Not really much to talk about. You know, I said this was going to be one of the worst games of the day. I guess it wasn't like that. Who knows? Josh Downs, though, had a good day. Excuse me. 7 catches, 1 touchdown, 65 yards. For the tight end side of things, Will Levis only had 95 passing yards with a touchdown and interception. The guy is terrible, dude. They're going to have to move on. He's just not that good, man. DeAndre Hopkins had 4 catches, 54 yards. But really, what caught my eye is Calvin Ridley had 0 catches. He got targeted 8 times. Excuse me, he had 9 rushing yards, though, if that counts. Anyways, yeah, bad day. I don't know why he signed there. Didn't know what he expected out of Will Levis or this offense. Just bad vibes. I really don't see a way you keep DeAndre Hopkins or Calvin Ridley. I think you should ship them both out. Why not? Why not ship them out? Maybe get a young wide receiver back for whoever you ship them out for. Maybe sign a guy or two. Bring some guys off the practice squad. If you're bad, why not just see if you can find a diamond in the rough? It is what it is. Find somebody new, but yeah. NyQuil game. NyQuil. Next, you know, in what was a closer game than it should have been, the Eagles beat the Browns 20-16. I don't know why this game was close. It kind of pisses me off. Nick Sirianni shaved his head before the game. And I don't know. Yes, you won, but terrible performance. He brought his kids to the presser, you know, maybe to avoid any hard questions. But, dude, you should be blowing the socks out of the Browns. A.J. Brown's back, and he was showed up big time. 6 catches, 116 yards, 1 touchdown. Smitty had 3 catches, 64 yards, and 1 touchdown as well. Jalen Hurts had 16 completions on 25 attempts, 264 passing yards, and 2 passing TDs. Offensively, you had your guys back, so why are you struggling versus the Browns? I hate that. Defensively, your guys did your thing, I mean. You can't complain defensively. You had 5 sacks on the day, 2 pass deflections. I mean, your guys showed up. Only giving up 16 points, I mean, that's cool. You only scoring 20, though, is bad in my opinion. Your offense is back to full power, full health, and that's all you're doing? I don't like that at all. I don't think Saquon played today. Oh, he did. 18 carries for 47 yards. I don't know. Bad overall. Bad vibes for the Eagles. As for the Browns, Deshaun Watson is always still a loser in my eyes. He's not good. He needs to get benched, but who are you benching for? Jameis Winston? Unfortunate. Amari Cooper, 1 week closer to becoming a Chief. Every day I say this, he's another week closer to becoming a Chief. David Njoku put up a dud in fantasy. 5 catches, 31 yards. Jerry Jeudy had 1 catch for 35 yards. Deshaun Watson, 16 completions on 168 yards, no passing TD or no interception. Yeah, these guys just bad vibes. What can you say, huh? 3 field goals from Dustin Hopkins. And that's what made up for nearly half of the game, man. But yeah, another NyQuil game. I thought this should have been a blowout. So when I think games should be blowouts, especially comparing I don't like the Browns team at all, I'm not going to be entertained in a close game. Kind of pissed me off it was this close, but on the flip side, we head to the NFC South where the Bucs laid it down on the Saints. The Bucs were down 24-27 after they gained the lead in the first half. They had it, and then Spencer Rattler and them came back. Now they're out 24-27. Boom. It got flipped. Saints didn't score for the rest of the game, and the Bucs dropped a 50 bomb. Baker Mayfield went 24 completions out of 36 attempts, 4 passing TDs, but 3 interceptions. A little disgusting. He looked special until the interceptions. Sean Tucker, shout out to Orange, Syracuse Orange, had 192 yards, 14 carries, and 2 passing TDs. Excuse me, 2 rushing TDs, my fault. Chris Godwin, the God, 11 catches, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bucky Irvin, 14 carries, 81 yards, 105 yards total with the touchdown as well. Sterling Shepard, still getting some run, 3 catches, 54 yards. Mike Evans didn't perform that well, but I mean, hell. New Orleans is going to do everything in their power to stop Mike Evans, but 595 total yards of offense, man. Electric overall for that Bucs offense. They're just continue to roll. For New Orleans sides of things, Spencer Rattler didn't look the worst. 243 passing yards, 2 interceptions, 1 passing TD. Alvin Kamara had 13 carries, 40 rushing yards, 64 yards in total with 1 touchdown. Overall, you came back, then you got your ass whooped. I blinked for a second and the Bucs had 50 points. It was crazy, but yeah, the Bucs offensively looked great. Defensively, I think if you don't give up no points in a single half, that's impressive, and they did that. Very impressive to my eyes. And the Bucks, They look, man, they can make it to the Super Bowl, and I wouldn't be shocked, dude. I really believe in this roster. I believe in Baker, Todd Bowles. Like, these guys are solid, man. I really believe in them, man. You're not going to give an offensive performance like this every week, and defensively, you're not going to shut out a team every second half. But, hell, great performance, a great statement in the NFC South. Next up, you had Drake May's debut, another rookie quarterback, man. I thought he looked very impressive yesterday. 20 completions, 33 attempts, 3 passing TDs, and 2 interceptions, 243 yards. One of those interceptions, boneheaded. Yeah, he also got strip sacked, but, you know, it's not the worst, man. You know, he looked very good, in my opinion. Demario Douglas, he connected to really well, 92 yards, 6 catches, and 1 touchdown. Keyshawn Boutte, what's it? Keyshawn Boodle, Booty? Ah, fuck, I never can pronounce his name. 3 catches, 59 yards, and a touchdown, though. Hunter Henry also caught a touchdown. 3 catches, 41 yards, 1 touchdown. Overall, you lost by 20, but 21 points offensively from Drake May. I think he had more touchdowns than Jacoby Brissett had all year. I think Jacoby only had 2 passing TDs. Drake got 3 this game. I thought it was always obvious. Why not strike Drake May? Because what are you going to lose? Jacoby Brissett would have lost this game as well, maybe by more. So it's good to see he's getting in there, man, and see him play for the rest of the season. It's going to be nice to watch, man. But as for Houston, man, 368 total yards of offense, 20 completions for C.J. Stroud, 31 attempts, 192 yards, 3 passing TDs, 1 interception. Joe Mixon back in action, 102 rushing yards, 13 carries, 132 yards in total, 2 touchdowns as well. Stephon Diggs, 6 catches, a touchdown, 77 yards versus his former division foe in the Patriots. Tank Dell also got on the board, 7 receptions, 57 yards, and a touchdown. And don't forget about Damian Pierce, who hasn't played since week 1. 77 yards, 8 carries, and 1 touchdown. That guy, I think him and Joe Mixon can be a great 1-2 punch when you got to run the ball. And I can't wait to see that. It's going to be interesting to watch for sure. You know, CJ didn't play the best, but 3 passing touchdowns, 192 yards. If that's what you got to do to win games, that's good to see. I think anytime you see your quarterback not playing elite level, but he's winning games at a good pace, you can't complain about that, man. So, good one for them. Defensively, though, Danielle Hunter had a strip sack. He dove for that thing. He dove for it, man. That was beautiful to watch, but yeah. Decent game. Not cool, though. Next game, Arizona lost 34-13 to the Packers. Kyler Murray had 22 completions, 32 attempts, 214 yards, 1 touchdown. Offensively, his best target was Trey McBride, 8 catches, 96 yards. Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, might have left the game early with the injury. Only had 2 targets on the day. Green Bay, wise though, great to see you offensively show up. 4 passing TDs for Jordan Love, 258 yards and 22 completions. He's looking to that form where I expected him to be, MVP-type levels. Romeo Doubs back in the lineup, 2 catches, 2 touchdowns, 3 receptions, 49 yards. Christian Watson with a solid day, 3 catches, 68 yards, a touchdown. Jaden Reed with a solid day, 6 catches, 28 yards, 1 touchdown. Josh Jacobs with 18 carries, 62 yards, 90 yards in total. You see, man, I love that. I love that 10. I love the trio of Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed. Don't forget about Devontae Wicks as well. No, I really like their core, Josh Jacobs. I really believe in this team. And it's great to see Jordan Love get back to what he can do, his pace. And, yeah, man, once he gets back to form, I really believe in this team. But, yeah, he must really say about this game. They barely showed this on Red Zone, and it was due to a blowout. But Packers are getting back to form. It's good to see. As for what I thought was going to be game of the week, game at least on Sunday, Commanders, Ravens, 2 teams from the same area. Ravens won this one 30-23. Jaden Daniels, he looked impressive versus a stellar defense. He looked impressive in my eyes. 24 completions, 269 yards, 2 passing TDs. He also had 22 rushing yards on the ground. So I sacked 3 times. Scary Terry McLaurin is quickly emerging as the top target. No one else to Jaden Daniels. He had 6 catches, 53 yards, 2 touchdowns. What I thought could be a year where he gets traded out, I'm quickly wrong, man. He's handling his stuff, man. It's great to see that Jaden Daniels got that target, that solidified number one guy. As for Zach Ertz, Unk still got it, dude. I've seen him making plays way too many times. 4 catches, 68 yards in total. Austin Eckler had 68 scrimmage yards. Noah Brown, former Texan, 4 catches, 58 yards. Yeah, not a bad day offensively for the Commanders. You just couldn't stop what was the attack of Baltimore, which was Lamar Jackson. 20 completions, 323 yards, an interception, and a passing TD. Derrick Henry, who also was just unstoppable. 24 carries, 132 yards, and two passing TDs. Say Flowers had a breakout game, in my opinion. I'd come back to that. I don't know why I said breakout. You know, in my head, I thought he'd have 100 yards at the end of the season, but I was clearly wrong. He had 120 versus Cincinnati, so I'm wrong about that. But he had 9 catches, 134 yards. Great back-to-back weeks from Say Flowers. Got to hope he keeps his form, at least for the Ravens side of things. You got to hope that he keeps his form and keeps going. Rashad Bateman looks solid. 4 catches, 71 yards. Isaiah Likely, 2 catches, 27 yards. Damn, Mark Andrews didn't get a catch? Oh, yeah, he did. Mandrews. Don't forget about Mandrews. 3 catches, 66 yards, 1 TD. Yeah, offensively, man, 484 yards of total offense for the Ravens. Solid game. Can't complain. You know, this game was not as entertaining as I thought it would be. Got close, but you can't just stop. They can't stop the rushing attack. I mean, they're gonna be. It's going to be electric to watch all season, man. You know, glad the Chiefs got it out the way and beat them. Shit. Glad they already did that, man. But, yeah, the Ravens continue to just play at elite form. After dropping back-to-back, they win 4 straight. They look impressive. Very impressive, in my opinion. And it's going to be interesting to watch going forward. Next up, you had the terrible game. It was the Steelers and Raiders. I had Daniel Carlson hitting over 2 field goals. He had 0 on the day. Aiden O'Connell didn't look the worst. 27 completions, 40 attempts. 227 yards, a passing touchdown, and interception. But, damn it, you lost the game by nearly 30. Anyways, Alexander Mattison looked impressive in the first half, in my opinion. 14 carries, 33 yards, 65 yards in total. 1 touchdown. Brock Bowers, though. As Davante Adams is out, I think Brock Bowers is a top target, and he's continued to prove that. 9 catches, 71 yards. Solid day. As for the rest of the wide receivers, yeah, I think you deserve $10 if you can name the next 2 targets for Aiden O'Connell. That's how bad it is. My boy, Max Crosby, my defensive player of the year, winner I had. Had 3 QB hits, a half a sack, 2 tackles for loss. Offensively for the Steelers, Justin Fields still looking okay. 14 completions, 24 yards, 24 attempts, my dumbass. 145 yards. No interceptions, no touchdowns. It was Najee Harris who had a great day. He had a 14 carries, 106 yards, 122 yards total and a touchdown. George Pickens had 3 catches, 53 yards. And Chris Boswell is the MVP, the true MVP. 4 kicked field goals, 2 touchdowns. Extra points. Yeah, I mean, how the hell did they, I don't know how they got 32. Nor do I care to look. But yeah, solid game for the Steelers. Continue to look good, above water. Don't think they're going to compete with the Ravens, really. But hell, maybe I'm wrong. You know, they could have beat the Cowboys. They should have beat the Cowboys, but they didn't. Is what it is on that part, man. But yeah, Steelers look good. Raiders don't. Oh, damn, I don't even know who won this game, but Chargers won. 23-16 versus the Broncos. Justin Herbert versus Bo Nix. As for the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh went into the locker room. Questionable to return. That was funny to see. Hopefully he's okay, but seeing a coach questionable to return in the game was hilarious. Not going to lie to you. But he stepped back out. They won the game. Justin Herbert had 21 completions out of 34 attempts. 1 passing TD. J.K. Dobbins had 25 carries, 96 yards, 102 yards on the ground. In total, excuse me. Josh Palmer looked okay. Shout out Quentin Johnston. You know, I asked for, he's over 2.5 catches. He got that for me. Fortunately, Daniel Carlson is a loser, and the Raiders are too. So I made no money. Fortunate as it is, you know, Bo picks. Another interception this game, 2 passing TDs, though. Cortland Sutton had a great catch in the touch for a touchdown. 4 catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown. Troy Franklin, the former Duck connection. 2 catches, 31 yards, and a tutty. Yeah, solid game. Not much to talk about, guys. I have no genuine excitement talking about these games. All these games just were boring to me, bro. Like, I just didn't like them at all. So, no reason to talk about that game more. So, Lions, Cowboys. Biggest news of the day was Aiden Hutchinson, I think, breaking his tibia or fibia. One of those bones. And gruesome injury, you see. Unfortunately, he's out for the rest of the season. And with the second injury, that being the second season injury for Lions D.N., they're going to be on the lookout to add another. But yeah, offensively for the Lions, 492 total yards of offense, 18 completions from Jared Goff, 315 yards, 3 passing touchdowns. David Montgomery had 12 carries for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. J-Mo had 3 catches, 76 yards and a tutty. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 4 catches, 37 yards and a tutty. Sam Laporta with 1 big catch, had 1 catch, 52 yards and a tutty. Jahmyr Gibbs, 12 carries, 63 yards, 91 in total. Solid day offensively for them guys. You know, what's his name? Dan Skipper? Taylor Skipper. I don't know. All right. Taylor Decker. Is that his name? Is that the guy that they said was ineligible? Regardless, they did a few things with the old lineman. The troll back, get back at him, and care about that, you care about that. I thought it was corny, but yeah. For Dallas, embarrassing. I don't even want to talk about this team. Embarrassing. To get blown out like that, embarrassing. You're not good at all. Nearly gave up 50 and didn't even touch double digits. Dak had two interceptions, 178 yards. They put Cooper Rush in there. He threw an interception too. CeeDee Lamb. Ugh. I mean, shout out to you, my boy. You can't do no wrong. 7 catches, 91 yards. Anyways, Dak sucks. Cowboys suck. The biggest news out of the day, though, was Dallas cornerback. What's his name? Jordan Lewis. DM Amon Ronce Brown after he posted an IG story talking about, you know, they walked in their trap, took over their trap. He said, "You a bitch." In his DMs. That was hilarious. That's the biggest news out of the day, excluding the Aiden Hutchinson injury. But yeah. Fox game of the day. Game of the week. Blowout. As for the Falcons and Panthers, this is the only game I really can only say I looked at twice. The biggest news out of that game, in my opinion, is how Felipe Franks, the former Arkansas, Florida QB, now a reserve tight end, popped the shit out of somebody on kickoff. That's what caught my eyes in this game. Anyways, Kirk had 19 completions, 30 attempts, 225 yards, one passing TD. Bijan Robinson, big game for him. 15 carries, 95 yards, 105 yards in total, two touchdowns. Tyler Algier, 18 carries, 105 yards on the ground. That's how you run a damn ball, y'all. Two running backs, nearly over 100 yards combined. In total, they had 213 yards. That's how you do it. Damn it. That's how you do it. Drake London, though, DL, 6 catches, 74 yards, and a touchdown. Kyle Pitts, 3 catches, 70 yards. Solid day offensively for the Falcons. For some Falcons fans, from some sources, they trolled in this game a little bit, but still came out of it. A.J. Terrell, interception. Shout out that guy. Andy Dalton was just looked pedestrian. 221 passing yards. Two TDs, two interceptions, and 26 completions. Deontay Johnson, maybe a former chief, future chief, excuse me. 6 catches, 78 yards, a touchdown. Chuba Hubbard, he's actually been really solid this year. Today, yesterday, he had 18 carries, 92 yards, 103 yards in total. You know, in total, but he's been really solid. He had 95 versus Chicago, 121 versus Cincy, 169 versus Las Vegas. Dude, he's been really solid. Good to see. But unfortunately, since he's in Carolina, they're not going to really talk about him. But I'll talk about Chuba Hubbard every week when I got to. Xavier Leggett, 3 catches, 23 yards, and a tutty. And yeah, that's mainly what I can talk about. You know, I really didn't watch this game at all. I'm just going off of box score, really. But yeah, shout out Chuba Hubbard. I'm going to talk about you, guy. But yeah, Bengals, Giants was way too close of a game, in my opinion. Bengals won this one by 10. 17-7. Shout out Sexy Dexy. Had a sack. He hit that dance. I got hype. It got me out of my seat. I ain't gonna lie to you. Sexy Dexy. He could get me out of my seat. He had a sack. QB to hit, of course. Ryan Burns also had a sack. Good to see. Two tackles for losses. Offensively for them. From Giants. You ain't have Malik Nabers, so you can't really cry about it. But Daniel Jones had 205 yards and interception. Darius Slayton had 6 catches, 57 yards. Wandale Robinson, 5 catches, 50 yards. Offensively, only put up a touchdown, but hey, you missed out. You didn't have your best player. And it is what it is. You didn't have your best player on offense, so you're not going to cry, but your best player on defense showed up. Shout out to Sexy Dexy. As for Cincinnati, I am disappointed. You are playing way too low. You had everybody healthy, and you only won by 10. You only scored 17. Joe Burrow had 19 completions, 208 yards, but did have a rushing TD, a damn near 50-yard rushing TD. Chase Brown had 10 carries, 53 yards, and a tutty. T. Higgins had 7 catches, 77 yards. Jamar Chase, 5 catches, 72 yards. Excuse me. Overall, bad vibes on Sunday Night Football, excluding Sexy Dexy and his dance. Bengals win this one by 10. And yeah, while we're at it, let's talk some college football. So, man, this slate on Saturday, well, at least the night games, they didn't disappoint. Until we got to the Moon Show, and they were all pretty mid. Red River game was all-time bad. Horns up, though. Mizzou beating UMass was fire until it wasn't anymore. Luckily, one game in early slate did hit. That was Alabama versus South Carolina. But yeah, let's get into it. You know, the big games of the day, of course, was Oregon, Ohio State, Tennessee, Florida, Colorado, Kansas State, Texas, Oklahoma. Real quick, we'll talk about them Tigers. Big game. Luther Burden kicks it off. 60-yard plus rushing touchdown. He did good. You know, on paper, Brady looked good. 219 passing yards, 2 TDs, 14 completions. Marcus Carroll had 3 TDs, stepping in for Nate Noel, who I think was had back spasms or whatever. He did his job, 15 carries, 91 yards. Luther Burden had 5 catches, 59 yards, 127 yards in total. Stop playing with my boy. He's like that. He's wide receiver 1 or 2. I don't care. Because Brady Cook ain't been delivering this year don't mean Luther Burden ain't that guy. All right, so put respect on his name. Joshua Mannen, Lee Summit, product, 2 catches, 68 yards, 1 tutty. Brent Norfleet, 3 catches, 48 yards, 1 tutty. Theo Weiss, 3 catches, 48 yards. You feel me? Anyways, that's all I can talk about for the game. Yeah, they handled business. So shout out them guys. Real quick, we'll talk about Ashton Jensen. My boy had 217 yards on the ground, 31 carries, 2 TDs. All I need to say, he's that guy. Give him the freaking Heisman. Boise State wins by 21. Kansas State versus Colorado. That was a game, though. I was entertained. Avery Johnson hit 224 pass yards, 2 touchdowns through the air, and 1 interception. DJ Giddens was killing shit all night, especially Shiloh Sanders' bum ass. Shiloh's a bum, yo. I can't wait to talk about him in a second. 25 carries, 182 yards, 120 yards in total for DJ Giddens. Dylan Edwards had a rushing touchdown as well versus his former team, but yeah. Offensively, for the Buffs, though, we'll talk about them real quick. Travis Hunter was out for the rest of the game. I think the whole second half, unfortunately, is what it is. Can't really complain, but yeah, that's really unfortunate, though. Shador, though, did look good. 388 yards, 3 passing TDs, 1 interception. Man, LaJonte Wester. He's like that, man. You know, they got playmakers for real. And then you got Marion Miller. He was cooking all night. Will Shepard. They got playmakers, man. And they made up for the loss of Travis Hunter. But we're going to talk about Shiloh Sanders, bum ass. Shiloh, dude, please retire. I've, like, bro. Like, he is terrible, bro. Like, how many, like, if you just go watch, search up Shiloh Sanders on Twitter, and you're going to find a compilation. You're going to watch a highlight mix of Shiloh getting his ass whoop, juke, beat on, embarrassingly. But yeah, Buffs lose this one by 3 at home. What's going to be a big upset, could have shot them up to the top of the Big 12 in rankings-wise. But no, Kansas State won this one like expected, but didn't cover the spread. No, Colorado did cover the spread, excuse me. But yeah, good game though. Good game to end the night off. In other words, Oregon versus Ohio State. We all, Will Howard, 12-yard rush. Just forgot how much time he had left. Unfortunately, did not slide fast enough to get the timeout, get them in field goal range. It is what it is, man. Oregon won this one. Dylan Gabriel won 23 completions, 34 attempts, 341 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. Evan Stewart, former A&M Aggie, 7 catches, 149 yards, 1 touchdown. Solid night. Really solid night. Tez Johnson also had a touchdown on the night, 7 catches, 75 yards. Denzel Burke got his ass cooked all night. Ohio State-wise, Will Howard was impressive until the end. He had 326 passing yards, 28 completions, 2 touchdowns. Jeremiah Smith, 9 catches, 100 yards, 1 touchdown. Judkins, Quinshon Judkins, NCAA 25 legend. He's solid 5. 11 carries, 61 yards, 1 tutty. Yeah, I really could catch this game. Got caught in some stuff. Caught up in some stuff, excuse me. But yeah, I was able to watch that end where Will Howard did the most bonehead shit ever. That was hilarious to watch, though, man. But in other ranked action, you had Ole Miss lose to LSU at home in Death Valley. That was the most obvious loss ever. Kyren Lacy with the game-winning touchdown. I called it. So hear me out. They missed the field goal, and I'm like, okay. No, excuse me. He drilled the field goal. That's my fault. 57, he drilled it. I expect him to miss it, but he drilled it. But you watch Ole Miss. If you go look at the highlight of Kyren Lacy touchdown, go look at Ole Miss. They're confused on defense. They looking at each other. I'm like, oh, yeah. This is a one-play touchdown. And what was it? Kyren Lacy cribbed that. Boom. 25-yard touchdown in the game. That was electric. LSU gets a big win over Ole Miss. They jump up. They're in the top 10 now. Ole Miss slides 18th, I think, one spot in front of Missouri. But, yeah. Jackson Dart, 284 yards. 1 passing TD, 1 interception post-game. Hood up. Could barely see his eyes. Says they got to win out. They know that. But with Georgia still on the schedule, it's going to be tough. Trey Harris, before he got hurt, had 7 catches, 102 yards, and 1 passing, 1 receiving touchdown. You know, he's been solid, really solid, one of the best wide receivers in the game, and I think he's leading in receiving yards right now. LSU, Garrett Neusmeyer, 2 interceptions, 3 touchdowns, and 337 passing yards. Kyren Lacy, electric as always, 5 catches, 111 yards, and 1 TD. For them Tigers, respect. I believe in them. They're real. They can make some shit shake, all right? I believe in them. But yeah, big win. They win by 3, and yeah, that was an impressive game to watch. Those two games I just mentioned, Oregon, Ohio State, Ole Miss, LSU, really carried the slate. Red River rivalry didn't do shit. I didn't get the chance to catch Tennessee versus Florida, but they did walk it off, though. Game-winning touchdown from Dylan Sampson. Solid game from him. He had 3 touchdowns, 27 carries, 112 yards. Nico had 169 passing yards, 16 completions, 1 interception. Overall, kind of an off day for Tennessee. They nearly got caught lacking, but they won in an overtime, of course, against Florida. Graham Mertz, who I think is now out with a knee injury for the rest of the year, had 11 completions, 1 touchdown, 125 yards. DJ Lagway, 98 carries, interception, passing TD, 9 completions. Solid day from Florida. I think another week closer to Billy Napier getting fired. But Tennessee almost got caught lacking, but they survived. They survived. As for any other game, we'll talk about Red River real quick. Quinn Ewers, this was electric all night. 20 completions, 199 yards, 1 pass TD, 1 interception. When I meant electric, you know, he gave the team electricity, you know. He was the leader. That's what I mean by electric. Ryan Ringo, St. Louis native, 2 catches, 74 yards in total. Solid day, man. They just dominated. I don't need to get into stats. Texas just flat out dominated OU. OU only had 3 points on the day. Michael Hawkins Jr., the freshman, just couldn't do it, unfortunately. It is what it is. You lost to a better team. I expected OU to not be close in this game at all. I just thought Texas was by far the better team. And yeah, man. Decent game. And Big Ten action, though. USC, Penn State. Damn it. USC should have won. Drew Aller is terrible. He's ass. 391 passing yards. Nearly a 400 bomb. But he had 3 interceptions and 2 passing TDs. This tight end. What's his name? Tyler Warren? Yeah. 17 catches. 1 passing TD. 224 damn receiving yards. Hold on, bruh. That just ain't right. Julian Fleming. It's just not looking that good, bruh. Only 2 catches, 33 yards, but... Anyways, man, that tight end had 200 and what kind of anyways, a tight end having 17 catches and 224 yards. What are we, fucking Travis Kelce reincarnated? Anyway, Miller Moss, 2 passing TDs, 220 yards. Just them Trojans couldn't do it, brother. The Trojans just ripped. They had to pull out, and they lost the game. Is what it is. Penn State was by 3. Now they're like number 3 in the country. I can't believe that, man. James Franklin is a fraud. Anyways, though. Alabama, South Carolina, last game we'll talk about real quick. Lenore Sellers, 23 completions, 238 yards, 2 passing TDs. Solid game from Raheem Sanders, 103 yards, 16 carries, 4 catches, 1 TD. Nick Harbor, 2 catches, 1 touchdown, 40 yards. Solid day. They nearly caught him, but a missed 2-point conversion failing forced them to, unfortunately, not tie the game up. Then they went to get it onside, and then they got it. They just couldn't. Threw an interception. Lost the game. It is what it is. He competed, though. Jalen Milroe, some questions were had about him. 209 passing yards, 16 completions, 2 interceptions, 1 passing TD. But he did have 2 rushing touchdowns as well, though, with 18 carries, 36 yards. Ryan Williams had 4 catches, 32 yards. Somewhat of an off day for the 17-year-old freshman. Yeah, the 17-year-old off day. Freaking D1 versus SEC team. Off days, 4 catches, 32 yards. Ridiculous. Anyways, solid day in college football. Solid game I just talked about. Like I said, this episode is going to be short, so I really can't get in-depth about it, guys, unfortunately. But yeah, solid day. I really enjoyed the college football slate. Way better than what the hell the NFL put on. But man, Army, Navy ranked. Mizzou climbing back up. SEC's legit. Oklahoma not ranked no more. Kyle McCord, let me talk about that boy real quick. He left OU. OSU, Ohio State, excuse me. But he's been balling, I'm not going to lie to you. He's got 31. He had 31 completions, 346 yards, 2 passing TDs, and he talked his shit post-game. Go search up Kyle McCord. You seen he talked his shit post-game. They beat NC State by a touchdown. But that's it. Ohio State's looking legit. Really legit, unironically. Too legit. Way too legit in my eyes. But yeah. That's it for college football. And real quick, before we wrap things up, we're going to talk about Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. Before I do that, though, I do want to talk about the NBA real quick. So this Friday, during the week, the goal is to start predicting awards, standings. And this Friday, we're going to do the West. That's what I know best. West, I know best. We're going to do the West on Friday. We're going to do the standings. And then on Monday, We're going to do the East, and I'm going to give award predictions as well. So the West is mainly just because there's going to be a lot to talk about on Friday. The West is going to be the standings, really. I'll try to get into each team a little, but mainly it's just going to be standings. And on Monday, we're going to talk about the East award predictions. And yeah, we're going to actually talk about some NBA games because that is opening week. I can't wait for that. But now let's get into some Monday Night Football for real. Bills Jets. Let's see how fast I can sum this thing up. The game's been around less than 6 hours. Josh Allen, James Cook's questionable, Khalil Shakir questionable. But the biggest news of the day, there's this guy on Twitter, guys, unironically. He put up a nice little parlay, and it's a 15-leg parlay. He had the Yankees money line versus the Royals, San Fran to cover the spread, Chicago to handle the spread, Houston, Green Bay, Baltimore, spread, money line for the Eagles, spread for the Bucks, money line for the Colts, spread for the Chargers, spread for the Steelers, spread for the Falcons, spread for the Lions, spread for the Bengals. His last thing is the Jets. Right now, he can cash out for $36,000. He only put 10 on it, and he can cash out for 36. I'd say he'd do it. I think he should do it. But a lot of people are saying, some people, and himself believe, that he should just wait for the Jets. I think that's wrong, because you know what? Josh Allen's going to cook up. And for the first time in a long time, I'm going to talk about some gambling, brother. I got on Underdog. I usually ain't been on Underdog, but I got back on there, man. All right, I got 8 picks. Hear me out. Greg Zuerlein, higher than 1.5 extra points made. I believe the Jets score at least 2 touchdowns tonight. I got Braylon Allen, lower than 33.5 rushing yards. The Bills are going to get up early, and they're not going to run the ball to their second running back, all right? Garrett Wilson's going to have over 5.5 receptions. Josh Allen, 1.5 passing TDs higher. I got Keon Coleman, lower than 49.5 receiving yards. Breece Hall, higher than 13.5 rushing attempts. He's got to carry the ball 14 times. I hope he does. Alan Lazard, high, 32.5 yards. Lower, Mike Williams, 15.5 longest reception. You know, I got this as a flex too, so, you know, one or two things don't hit, I'm going to still walk out with some money in my pocket, all right? But I just wanted to bring that up real quick, talk about a little gambling. But overall, though, the Bills, I think, on the road, they could lose this game, and I wouldn't be shocked. But it would take a big game from the rushing game, Breece Hall. I think Breece Hall would need to have a big day. I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers drop back 40, 50 times. I don't want to see that. Establish the run. Okay, and I think, what's his name? I don't know who took over as interim head coach, but he said that they need to be a run offense first, and I believe that. And I hope Braylon Allen is a part of it, at least for this game. I hope it's the Breece Hall show. He dominates in the first half. You get a lead, and you run the ball like crazy. As for A-Rod, you know, needs to perform a little better, but continue to target Garrett Wilson, please. I need at least 6 catches. Don't look Mike Williams' way. Overall, though, if I had to give you a winner, I'm going to go with the Bills. I trust Josh Allen on the road versus the Jets. I'm really not. If James Cook plays, give me the Bills. If he doesn't, give me the Jets. But if he does play, I believe that rushing attack in that early lead will help the Bills sustain a lead and win this game. As for the Jets, you might be panic mode if you drop another game. You're 2-4. You know, you're not completely out of it, but you might have to hit panic mode. But overall, though, I got the buff. The Bills winning this one. Score prediction. I got this being high scoring. Give me 38 Bills. Jets 24. Now let's talk some Thursday Night Football. I didn't know this was the game. Broncos Saints. The 3-3 Broncos versus 2-4 Saints. The biggest storyline of this game is Sean Payton returning to New Orleans. That's the biggest storyline. Hell. Thursday Night Football last week. They put Cameron Jordan for the Saints and Sean Payton for the Broncos. That's the biggest storyline. Sean Payton returning. That's all they're going to talk about. Sean Payton returning. Anyways, it's going to be Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix. That's going to be interesting to watch. I think this game's going to be low scoring for sure. Two rookie quarterbacks, prime time, low scoring. Put your money on it. Hit the under on the point total, all right? Hit the under. They're not going to do shit this game. I'm going to go with the Saints just because of Alvin Kamara, that rushing attack. But if the Broncos are able to stop the run, I don't know, man. Give me the Broncos. I think Sean Payton's got some stuff up his sleeve. I'm going to change my prediction. Give me the Broncos. Give me them by a field goal. I think it's going to be a late game field goal. I think Sean Payton's got some stuff up his sleeve. He's going to win this game in New Orleans. It's going to be led by Bo Nix. He's going to have a clean game, no turnovers. They're going to stop Alvin Kamara, and they're going to win this game. That's my prediction. That's what I believe in. Not really much to talk about these two teams. I think Alvin Kamara is really sharp. Rashid Shaheed is going to be a good target for Spencer Rattler, but Chris Olave is questionable with concussion. And, you know, it's a short turnaround. I really don't see why you'd play him, man. So, my opinion, give me the Broncos winning this one. I think their defense is going to lock in. Patrick Surtain, I think he will get an interception this game. Guarantee it. That's my guarantee of the week for NFL Week 7. Patrick Surtain, interception. Anyways, though, that's it for the Thursday night part of it. And that's it for the podcast, guys. And I wanted to make this episode short, and I don't think I did. 45 minutes is around average length. But, yeah, I got some stuff to do on this beautiful Monday afternoon. And I just wanted to get this out the way. I'm sorry if it was sloppy. I'm sorry for the stutters. But there really wasn't much to talk about NFL-wise. It was really a bad slate. And, you know, these are two games I really don't want to get in-depth in because overall I think it could be a blowout for both Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. I think the Bills and Broncos could shock some shit. But overall, I think the Thursday Night Football game is going to be a snooze fest. And I think Monday Night Football is going to be interesting. So I got a little in-depth about that. But, yeah, MLB, yeah. It was okay. This weekend was okay. But on Friday, though, what to look forward to is, of course, the NBA West predictions, standing-wise. We're going to talk about each team in depth. Also looking forward to another elite college football Saturday. I think, what is it, Tennessee-Alabama. I think it's Georgia-Texas. I think those are the two games, if I'm not mistaken. Also, we're going to talk about Week 7. Hopefully, it's not a snooze fest. We'll talk about that. MLB, we'll talk about the weekend of MLB and what we missed in between episodes. We'll also recap Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, if they're worth talking about. We'll also dabble into some other stuff if I find interesting. But yeah, guys, as always, thanks for listening. Thank you for making this far. If you did, you're the true MVP. You're the GOAT. You make things work for me. So I just want to give you all the praise that you guys deserve for listening. But as always, thank you for listening. Always love and respect one another in this world, even if it's hard. And like always, I'll catch you guys on Friday. Mwah. Catch you later. Peace out.